Invite you to turn your Bibles, will, to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. I want to begin a series of messages. This will be by way of introductory, a series of messages on the judges of Israel. The judges of Israel. The book of Judges is an interesting book. Spans a course of 450 years. And what we want to do before we delve into that book is get an understanding of how the Lord's thinking and how the Lord's design is for that time of the judges, because there's things that happen there that the testimony of the Lord is that it's not right, it's not good that it happened. We see a bunch of up and down. It's a real roller coaster ride there for the nation of Israel. And so what is the Lord's thinking? And so let's go to Genesis 17 and read the first 9 verses here and see how all this, if you will, got started. We'll use this to get started with. And when Abram, so this is the man that the Lord called out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he came with his family. His father was still alive, and they went to Haran, and his father died, and then he went on down into Canaan. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, listen, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This man, he was called from Ur of the Chaldees. We understand that he was a heathen. He did not know God, but God called him and God saved him. And I believe that that the salvation of Brother Abraham is found over here, what, in chapter 15. I think that that's where the Lord saved him. But it's no matter. But I think that that's really the place that it was the case. And that can be debated. But he says, to be a God unto thee. Okay? So he's been dealing with this man. He's been bringing him along. This man has been believing the Lord. Okay? And his faith in the Lord was accounted unto him for righteousness. And we'll read over there in chapter 15 here in a little bit. And he says, I'm going to be a God unto thee and a God unto thy seed after thee. Okay, so that's what the Lord has this man. He says, I'm going to be a God to you and to your children. Okay. And so it goes on and says here in verse number 8, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Okay? So the Lord has been leading Abram along. He changes his name here. And a name change with the Lord is always a significant point. It's going to be a new way, going to be a new direction. You're a changed man, okay? Changed by me. And have these promises. And so not only is he going to be a God to Abraham, he is his God, but the Lord makes a promise that he is going to be a God to his children. I will be their God. Okay? So now let's back up and And what we want to pick up on this, and again, the judges of Israel, and in this subtopic, I am the Lord. Let's back up here to Genesis 15. And in this, the Abram, he has a vision of the Lord. The Lord tells him to fear not. He tells him what he is. He's his shield and exceeding great reward. And Abram is concerned about having a child. He and Sarah, the Lord's made a promise to him that his children would be innumerable. How can it be if I don't have a child? How can it be if I don't have a son? Okay. And so, Abram brings this to the back and forth. They're talking back and forth here. Verse number 4 of Genesis 15. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this shall not be thine heir. Eleazar, his steward, is not going to be his heir, but he's going to have a son. This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. We know that to be Isaac. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And he believed the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it to him, Abram, for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. So here, and I know we took a look there in Genesis 17 to start off, where the Lord says, I will be your children's God. Okay. But here in this chapter 15, where the Lord continues to tell Abram about the promise, and then Abram has these questions of how it's going to be. And the Lord makes it very clear he's going to have a son. And he says to Abram, I am the Lord. So see, he establishes this with Abram that I am your God. I am the Lord. And so who enters in between that? We got Abram and we got God. And it's a relationship between the two. Okay? And then he goes on, as we started off there in chapter 17, and he says now about their children, a name change for Abram, and he's going to bring Isaac. He's going to bring Isaac on as he has promised. And he changes Abram's name to Abraham. He's going to be a father of many nations even. And he makes this declaration, I will be their God. Okay? We see this going on. Isaac is the son of Abraham, and we know that Isaac is that son of promise. He's typical somewhat of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it was impossible, the Lord gave him a son, right? And the blessing and the promise that he gave to Abraham, he gave to Isaac also. We come over here to Genesis chapter 28. Isaac had two sons, didn't he? Isaac had two sons, and the Lord's purpose and plan, and there's some things mingled in here. Jacob did not go about things right. He was the youngest. He was not in line to be the heir, but the Lord had a purpose and plan. Yet Jacob and his mother's wickedness and ill pursuits did not thwart the Lord. Jacob bore the misdeeds that he carried out, and I think we see that in his life. But here to Jacob, we see in chapter 28 of Genesis, verse number, let's back up to verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He's in exile. You know, he bought the birthright, stole the blessing, and now he's on the run. Well, he really got everything he was after, huh? I mean, it was just really, really a sad, sad thing. And that's what sin will do to us. We'll never have a good right way of chasing after iniquity and sin. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And so here we see that the Lord visits Jacob, and he says to him, I am the Lord thy God. And this is the beginning of a relationship between Jacob and the Lord. And who is there in between? Nobody. No one. No one in between the two. Just like the Lord visited his grandfather, and just like the Lord had blessed his father, Isaac, so the Lord has come to him, and he says to him, just like he did Abram, just like he did his father Isaac, just like he did to Jacob, I am the Lord. And so it's established there. I'm God. I'm your God. There's none other, and it's you and me. You and me, you and I, we have the relationship, and I'm going to do for you. I've made some promises to your grandfather. They're going to be carried out in you. And so we know, and you read this chapter and others about Jacob, the Lord brings him along in that. So then what happens? Time goes on. The patriarchs are born over there in Haran, most of them. And from that, we know that Joseph was taken off to Egypt. It was a conspiracy of his brothers because they hated him. They hated his way. They hated his, I believe they hated his righteousness. They hated his obedience to the father. His father did make him special and stand out, which is a tough thing that he did to his son. But nevertheless, being the child of his old age, Benjamin was kind of in the same boat. He was a child of Jacob's old age. And understand, Jacob was not the firstborn, but he was the secondborn. And so he very much sympathized with being on down the line birthwise. And so he bent himself towards being towards the young ones. He did that. It didn't help his family, but it didn't thwart the Lord either, did it? Didn't thwart the Lord. So then by Joseph, Jacob and his household are delivered from the great famine. Okay, you know about that in the scriptures. And then Israel goes down into Egypt. And Brother Mark has been dealing with in his Sunday school class lessons about Brother Moses and his life in time. The Lord hearing the cries of the children of Israel, he calls Brother Moses of the tribe of Levi to be a deliverer, to be his man, to deliver and to birth his nation out of Egypt and to finance her and to take her into that land promised to Brother Abraham, to Brother Isaac and Brother Jacob. So we've got these two that we've seen examples of, and we've seen the Lord come to them and say, I am the Lord. A declaration to them personally. I am the Lord. I'm your God. And then a promise that I will be your children's God. Okay? So now we've got the children of Israel, and we don't want to rehash what Brother Mark has taught, but just touch on these points. Now the Lord is sending Moses, and let's come over here to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 6. And let's just go through and march through here and see how the Lord does this. The children of Israel, being there in Egypt, things have been passed down. Things have been told about Abraham, about Isaac, about Jacob, about the patriarchs, Jacob's sons. Things have been passed on, their history, their family history, the whole family history all the way back to Abraham. And they've been told about the Lord, about the Lord, about the Lord. No doubt many of them, we see that with Brother Joshua. We see that with Brother Caleb, that they seem to be men of faith even before faith in the Lord, before Moses shows up. And we know that Brother Moses' father and mother were children of the Lord. They had faith in the Lord and the promises of God. Remember, this is a time there's no Bible. There's no scripture. What they know has been passed down by word of mouth. And there may have been history written by some, but there's no Israel yet. I mean, not as a nation. They're a family, but they're not a nation yet. And what they know has been passed down, and many of them have cleaved to those promises. But if you will, if you allow this, as a whole, the Lord, the nation, or Israel has not seen the all-encompassing hand of God upon them. Remember our brother Abraham? The Lord came to him and says, I am the Lord. The Lord introduced himself. He said, and what he's saying in that, there's none other beside me, and I'm your God. He comes to brother Jacob, as we saw, I am the Lord. There's nobody else, and it's me and you. And so he begins to deal with them that way. Well, now here, Israel is here captive in Egypt. They're crying unto the Lord. So they know the Lord is the one to cry to, but they've not experienced him as a whole. They've not seen him as a whole. They've not heard from him. They've heard about how the Lord did with their daddies. But now it's come time for them to meet the Lord, if you will. Exodus chapter 6, we read here, listen to what the Lord says. Then, verse number 1, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, because he went there, he said, let the people go, and Pharaoh refuses to do so, makes things harder for him and all that, right? And so, now thou shalt see what I shall do, what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, the children of Israel, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. The Lord is introducing himself to the children of brother Abraham, to the children of Isaac, to the children of Jacob, to the children of the patriarchs. Says, I am the Lord. I'm here. I'm on the scene and I'm doing something. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac. Hear that? He said, I've appeared unto them and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them, but I am to you now. See, he's making himself, he's revealing himself unto the nation, or the nation to be, soon to be. He says, I will be their God. And now he's on the scene being their God. You hear what I'm saying? He is saying to them, I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. So they had heard that it had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And by virtue of that and those promises, but now the Lord's coming and saying, I'm here. And it's to you. He said, the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. I have remembered my covenant with your fathers that I promised to you that I would be your God. And I'm here. I'm Jehovah God, and I'm here dealing with you. Who's in between? Well, yeah, the Lord called Moses, but he called Moses. You know what? He called Moses because of the weakness of their hearts and the weakness of their mind. They needed a man at this time to be a spokesman for God and a leader, because they're infantile. They're infantile in faith and in understanding. Now, You go ahead and you take a look. Just consider in your mind about all that you know, what Brother Mark has brought out about children of Israel, and then as they go on their sojourn and what you know about that. There are very few that are listed as faithful and stalwart in the way of the Lord. And then you got the nation that could have been 2 million, half a million at the, well, we know it's 600,000, so a million or so or more. Of all that, so very few are listed as being stalwart, dedicated, faithful. What God says, that's it, and you can just mow me over if that doesn't come to pass, what the Lord says. They're infantile, so they need a man to lead them, and the Lord has called Moses to do so. But he says, I am here, and I am your God. I am the Lord, I am Jehovah. I've heard your groaning. I've seen how the Egyptians keep you in bondage. I've remembered my covenant. Verse 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, Moses, I am the Lord. So he tells Moses to go out there and tell them, like the Lord appeared unto Abraham and Jacob, I am the Lord. Now it's their time for them to hear straight from God. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. It goes on to say in verse 7, and I will take you to me for a people. So you're it. You are it. You're the children. You're the children that I told your father that I would be a God to. It's time. It's come time. And I will be to you a God. Then ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, you'll know it, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, verse 8, and I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. He tells them over and over again so they'll get it. I'm the Lord. I'm your Lord. I'm your God. And I'm here with you like I promised. It's come time. So now you got what's becoming the nation of Israel and the Lord. And who's in between? Well, in the strictest sense, no one. Yeah, now the Lord uses Moses. And because of their infancy, because of their weakness spiritually, they have a leader appointed. But who is it that's engaging them? It is God. It is God's work. It's God's purpose. It's God's plan. It's God's word coming unto them. I am the Lord. Have you ever had the Lord tell you that? Well, in salvation we have, haven't we? Yeah, in salvation. We've not heard it audibly, but in the conviction of our heart and in the Lord showing us our sin, and we have the full revelation about the Lord Jesus as Savior. Let me tell you, when the Lord brought conviction, when the Lord showed you your sin, when the Lord showed you Jesus Christ, was there any other God you were interested in? None. Because he came and he said to you and me, I am the Lord. And as we know in the full revelation, here's my son, the one that you need as your Savior. And so when we have the Lord here doing this with his nation, I am the Lord. In this chapter 6, we come over here to verse 29 quickly and see what it says here. Verse 28, and it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I'm of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? He said, go and tell it, son. Go and tell it unto him. I am the Lord. In chapter 7, this has to be repeated. The Lord is long-suffering. He brings them along. And so we have this here at the beginning of the engagement before the plagues and such. In chapter 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I've made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you. This is the all knowing knowledge of the Lord, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel. Because how he's going to bring his people, the children of Israel, because he's their God and they're his people, as he had promised, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. You know, the Egyptians are going to know it, but you know who else is going to know it? Israel's going to know it too. When the Lord starts with these plagues, our brothers reviewed, and he starts working on Egypt and nothing's going on in Goshen, the Egyptians are learning that he is the Lord. And you know what's reinforced with Israel? That he is the Lord. That he's the Lord. Tell you what, the power of the Lord manifested in our lives, in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ, in our church, and in those around us, we know that he is the Lord. He says, they will know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. I am the Lord. In chapter 7 also, we come to verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters that are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. The beginning of the plagues that Egypt will know. But then over there, the water and the pots and the buckets and all that over in Goshen, it's not going to be turned to blood. And Brother Mark speculated about that. You know, was it that some of the Egyptians knew that the water over there, they went over there maybe and bought water, went over there at a stream over there in Goshen to try to get water? Wouldn't it be interesting if they went over there to get water, but then when they crossed that line, it turned to blood? I mean, the power of the Lord, they're going to know, and Israel looking on, do you know that all the water in Egypt has turned to blood? Because see, all the Hebrews, all the Israelites would go over there into Egypt to work and to build their cities and to build their structures. They were amongst them. But then when these plagues crank up, wonder how what happened with the taskmaster. I think production kind of fell off, don't you reckon? Because the Egyptians were all busy taking care of wrangling on how they're going to be able to take care of things and be able to function without water. Chapter 8. We come over here, and for each of these plagues, we see this statement that is made. Here we see the plague of lice and the plague of flies. Verse number 22 of chapter 8, and I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell. He claims them, they're mine, just as I had promised. I am the Lord amongst them, that no swarms of flies shall be there. To the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. See, He is making this, just like he did with Abraham, just like he did with Jacob, as we saw. He's making this statement to the children of Israel, to the nation. I am the Lord. I'm your God. And who is there that is between them and their Lord? Chapter 10, we see here the plague of the locusts and the plague of darkness that comes on. Verse number 1 of chapter 10. And the Lord said to Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son. So this is going to be going on generation to generation to generation. And of thy son's son, what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. Not going to be the Lord, but am the Lord. Not that your children one day, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that I will be their God. I'm on the scene. I've arrived, and I am the Lord. Now, I am your God. Chapter 12, we read here in verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. So that rearranging of the calendar of what had been commonplace and typical, he gives them their new beginning. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And so he starts that, and then verse number 12, He institutes this as the Passover and the Passover lamb on the 10th day and the 14th day and all that. And then he tells here, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. Interesting. He says it over and over and over again. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am here. And he's bringing them along in his deliverance of them and in their infancy, if you will. Chapter 14, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speaking to the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea over against Baal Zephon, before ye shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. He tells that to Moses to tell unto the children of Israel. And he says, I am going to for good and finally defeat your latest enemy. You think about Pharaoh and all of his chariots and all of his soldiers and all that. They loaded up. They had this change of heart. They loaded up and they went out. And nobody came home. And in time, no doubt, they would send out a party to try to go find them. And if they found anything, they found pieces and parts of chariots laying on the shore of the Red Sea. It was all that was left, if at all. And Israel saw the deliverance of the Lord going across the Red Sea. We're past the plagues. They are loaded up. As Brother pointed out this morning, the scripture says they went out harnessed. They were loaded down with treasure from the Egyptians, saying, begging them to please get out of here and leave. And the Lord opened up the Red Sea where Pharaoh thought they were caught. And they saw that he was the Lord. And Pharaoh and his soldiers, they saw that he was the Lord to their death. I am the Lord. Who's here for just from the standpoint of the deliverance of the Lord and the working of the Lord? Who's here in between his nation and him? No one. No one. It requires no other mediator, no other intercessor. Now, I know the Lord Jesus is evidence there, and as the Lord Jesus is there evidence as the angel of the Lord. He's there evidence as in the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. He's there as the rock. We see those things that are revealed to us in the New Testament scriptures. But and as a whole, this is God dealing with his nation and no one in between. His plan for him and his work for them is that he is their God. And beside him, there's none other. Now, I know this is a very simple thing, but this is important as we go further and as we look to go into the book of Judges. What was the plan and design for the Lord? I give you a hint. What was it at Sinai? See, here's one of those things. By our disobedience, our infancy, our weakness, we never thwart the Lord. The Lord said there at Sinai, he said, get everybody ready. Come to the mount, but don't come too far. And I'm going to speak to my people. I'm going to speak to the nation. The Lord would have had it. Again, what men did does not thwart the Lord, but the Lord would have had it that he would have dealt straight with his nation. And they would have been the only nation that had a God. He is the only true God that would have dealt with them directly. But they said, oh, Moses, we can't take it. Don't let the Lord speak to us anymore. See, they couldn't handle it. They were weak in faith. They were infantile even yet. And the Lord's desire was nothing but straight fellowship with them. And so the Lord said, well, they've well spoken. They've well spoken. They'll be an intercessor. They'll be an intercessor like you, Moses. So we'll do that. And then I will send the intercessor in time to come, our Lord Jesus Christ. God's never thwarted. He's never thwarted in anything. And he is glorified in all. He's a great and wondrous God indeed. Verse number 18 of chapter 14, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I've gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Chapter 15. Now as the people are traveling, and we see this here. Verse number 20. Let's read from here. Exodus 15:20. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed graciously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, like he did in Egypt, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." I'm the Lord. I've got everything that you need and more. I am the Lord. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16, verse 10. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." He keeps saying this over and over again. Have you ever noticed that? Reinforced. It's children of Israel rightly called, because they're subject to whine and fuss like children do. Never satisfied, not satisfied with what's at hand, always wanting something else. And the Lord brought the quail unto them, and the meat that they desired was a problem to them, wasn't it? But he says, "I am the Lord your God. I'm here. I'm ready. I am ready to take care of you." And then Exodus 20, hallmark passage of the Ten Commandments given by God unto the children of Israel from his own mouth to their ears. We see here, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Brother Jim, I thought it was Moses that brought him out of the land of Egypt. Well, Moses was used, but it was the power of God upon the brother that wherein he was used. It was God's idea. It was God's power in the beginning, wasn't it? And he says here at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord thy God, Jehovah God. Chapter 29 of this book of Exodus, chapter 29. Here is speaking about some of the offerings and such as that, and different burnt offerings and consecration of priests and such as that. Let's see what it says here. Let's read from verse 42. "This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord." So he's given the order about the tabernacle, and they have built it, and there's instruction about it. "Where I will meet you to speak there unto thee, and there will I meet with the children of Israel." You hear that? There at the tabernacle, "I'll meet with the children of Israel." The fellowship is always the thinking of the Lord. Fellowship. He desires the fellowship with his creation. He desires a fellowship with his people. And he's not thwarted in anything. He's not challenged in anything. But that's a desire of the Lord, is the fellowship with his creation, here with his nation, with his people. The wording that he uses is significant. It's not just rhetoric. He desires that. "I will meet with the children of Israel, where I will meet with you and to speak there unto thee." Verse 43, "And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, set it apart. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God." Just like he promised. He's bringing it to pass, just like he promised. "And they shall know that I am the Lord their God." They'll know it. They'll know it by what I've done. They'll know it by what I do. They'll know it by what I'm going to do for them, "that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." Isn't that what the Lord does with us? Doesn't he dwell among us? Yeah, we understand now in the full revelation, the coming of the Savior and all these things that were given to Israel in Moses' day, they all point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in salvation, our Lord Jesus lives within us. The Holy Spirit of God. The Lord has always desired fellowship with his creation, and he fellowships with us, doesn't he? He is our God. Do you want another God? No, we don't want another God, do we? And may we know that he is our God. And we have this relationship personally with him in salvation. We have this relationship with him in his church that he's called us into. He is our God. He's their God, too, and he makes that known to them as he delivers them. One more verse here in Exodus chapter 31, verse number 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. I'm the Lord. I've set you apart. So you know what? I've given you a day to set apart. The Sabbath, the seventh day. I've given that day, that's my day. And in the time of Israel here, started off as the day of rest, right, with Adam. But now here in the nation, it's the day of worship, the day of holy convocation, the day of other sacrifices, in addition to the daily sacrifices and stuff. He said, a day, one of seven, that is dedicated for you to come apart from the normal operation and work of life and to hear from me, to worship me, to gather together to worship me, and to serve me, because I am the Lord your God. So, next time, next Sunday, Lord willing, what we'll look to do then, we had this man Moses that the Lord used. And then after Brother Moses, there was this man Joshua, right? Faithful. He was a servant of Moses. And Brother Joshua was there. He was there from the beginning. Brother Joshua was there with Brother Moses. The Lord taught Moses for 40 years in the wilderness, right? And he was high, as Brother Mark brought out, and then he was brought low, a shepherd over on the backside of nowhere. And then the Lord took him and then used him for that 40 years. For that 40 years, Brother Joshua was right there beside Moses. And he learned. He had OJT, didn't he, on the job training, being the servant of the man of God. And then he was called himself to be the man of God. And Israel was by him taken into their land. And what is it that we see there? That's what we'll look into next time, is this time of the challenge of Joshua to that second generation, and what the plan of the Lord was going on forward from there. Israel, I give you this, Israel, it seems to me that Israel should have been a point then of maturity, that they should have been able to be obedient to the Lord their God and obey him in the things that were given with the priesthood and the order of service for them, occupy their land and come there to Jerusalem or to Shiloh to worship, and in time ultimately to Jerusalem, and it just be them, the priesthood, and their God. But the thing is, they had to have somebody with the thumb on them, didn't they? Because they wouldn't be obedient straight up to their God. So then we enter into this time of the judges, and talking about a roller coaster ride. You know when the Lord would bring judges? He would bring judges out of necessity. It wasn't by design. It was by necessity. Now understand. I understand the Lord did it, but I'm seeing here and what we'll take a look at is what the Lord's purpose and design was, is for him to be their God, for him to be their monarch, and they to be his people. But because they wouldn't, then we enter into that time of the judges. So we'll see. Okay, we'll see. You pray the Lord to give us wisdom and understanding about it.